Good morning, everybody. Today, our lead-in was a little erroneous.
Really?
Because Reuben Truthmaker is out on another exciting assignment.
Jim's been keeping him busy.
He has.
I feel a little ignored.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, I would like to be on a troller vessel. I think that we can't discount the benefits of, fishing, throwing out those nets.
And of being the teacher's pet and getting sent on those plum assignments.
Hey now, really? I mean, what do we need to do over here?
I don't know.
Other dude.
I don't know. We're going to have to change our game plan, I guess. All right, so you guys know the drill. This is Coastal Windage. It's Friday morning. We are here to talk about a few topics and hopefully get some callers in. And to get callers in, what do we need? A phone number. Phone number here at the station is 560-9851. Feel free to call and talk to us about the subjects we might have on hand today or something we've talked about in the past, or just if you got a little bee under your bonnet, as my grandma used to say.
Yeah.
Call in and let's see what's buzzing.
And also, spring break is starting this week.
It is.
I think all... Did you notice coming to the studio today? No traffic.
None. It was
zero traffic. It was like heaven.
And when I give a traffic report, that's the one I like to give.
Oh,
no traffic.
My God, it was so wonderful. Yeah. And you go into the coffee shop. No one's in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
It was really wonderful. Do you have plans for spring break?
We are going to travel a little bit, yes.
Yep.
So that should be fun.
We're heading up to Tahoe for a few days, and so that should be fun also. I think a little spring skiing. And
Do they still have snow?
Yes.
Well, that's good,
yes.
too.
I keep getting reminders from Squaw telling me how much they have. I think it's something like 15 feet.
Wow. And that's all from...
From the recent...
Regular snowpack.
Yeah, yeah.
That is great.
It is. And it's supposed to snow/rain. Rain here, of course.
Right.
Thursday, Friday. So even more snow is expected up there. So good times. It's been
yeah.
a good ski season. Of course, I am an après skier. I think I've said that a few times. So I find myself plunked down by a fire pit with a book and a bottle of beer. And,
That sounds horrifying.
Toasting to the to the people coming down the slopes.
The more energetic folks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm such a slug. Anywho.
So today.
Yes.
Here's what we got for topics. You...
Yes.
Libby, attended
yes.
the last Tuesday's Planning Commission meeting
yes,
about the
I
did. Hyatt Hotel build on the south end of town.
Standing room only.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. We've got some discussion about the new Coastside compost bins. Apparently some people are liking them and some people aren't really liking them.
Hmm.
How do you love or not love your compost bin? We're going to try to find out. And then on the why, this one is really a stunner to me because I thought it was pretty much a done deal. But apparently we humans have an organ that we didn't know about and they have just discovered.
I am over this. I mean, isn't that what our appendix is for? We have no need for the appendix.
Well, apparently this we might have an actual use for. So we'll talk about
it
and see.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I have this organ, but maybe I do.
You may not be a doctor, but you play one on the radio.
I do. And then we have a few updates this morning.
Yes, we do.
So down in Pescadero, there's good news. KPDO radio down there is back up and running. It is back.
Oh.
They're doing an 18-hour loop. They're going to be doing some programming that they purchased from other radio stations or are contributed from other radio stations, perhaps. They've got some of their own local disc jockeys down there. They're back on the air. It's great to have them back.
Okay. So we're not concerned with competition. I mean, I know that no one can compete with this show, but what are you thinking about that?
Do you only read one newspaper?
True. True.
So there's different things you might want to...
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Now, you also shared a fine-tuned detail with me that their location, where they're running their studio out of. A studio in air quotes out of.
Apparently right now they are using the rear end of a converted bread truck.
Wow.
Which, I don't know, maybe that's kind of cool.
Well, you know, I think that you and Reuben had floated an idea of having the radio show housed in what's now Dad's Luncheonette, which is a booming business, by the way.
Yeah, it's doing well.
So I'm so happy they're there. But I think that was a spectacular idea.
Caboose. They're in the caboose. Yeah, that would be great. And if the bread truck runs, you know, if your listeners get a little upset with you, you can always just go down the road.
Hightail it out of town.
Go down the road and carry on with things. So we're glad to have them back on the air.
Nice.
The local Lutheran church, I believe you brought this one in. They are offering homeless shelter on rainy days. And I know with all of the activity that's been going on with how can we help the homeless but not run them out of town and all those kind of things, this is a welcome thing.
I think it's terrific that they have opened their doors. And you know what? They also clearly were thinking out of the box. I don't know that they wanted to take on, you know, a full-on shelter 24/7.
Right.
And I think this is what worked best for them and also really helped the local homeless community.
Right.
And, wow, I mean, if we could all put on that hat and think outside the box, you know, not that we could solve it, but, wow, I mean, just the feeling of helping our neighbor in any way possible, I think, is amazing. And, you know, there was feedback in the review from a few of the homeless saying how much they appreciated this, you know? I mean,
well, that's good.
Everyone wants to be treated with respect.
Exactly.
And this really, I kudos to the Lutheran Church.
Exactly.
I think that is really wonderful that they stepped up and did that.
And
so.
I truthfully, I think that's the way that problems get solved. It doesn't have to be, let's put it all on somebody and they're going to take it over 24/7, 365. How about if somebody contributes a little, we contribute a little, they contribute a little, and the problem gets easier.
One of the homeless gentlemen was quoted as saying he gets a feeling of enjoyment from spending time at a rainy day shelter run by Abundant Grace Coastside Workers. I guess they're partnering with the Lutheran Church. So
even better. People are teaming
even
up.
Even better. And then let's see, the gentleman said on Friday, Stockman stopped in for some chili and cornbread that a local Unitarian group provided and left a jacket that the community donated.
That's
so
nice.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, power in numbers.
Yeah.
Let's keep it up.
I feel better.
Yeah, me too. And there's another gentleman actually who plays the guitar, and it just sounds like everyone is rallying together. And so rain is coming up next week, folks. So let's watch out for each other. And good job, Lutheran Church.
That is. And then the other one, this one's kind of big too, I think.
Yeah.
The local Rotary is contributing $5,000 each to local organizations.
Yes, they donated $5,000 to the Abundant Grace Coastside Worker, who we were just talking about. With the Lutheran Church, Coastside Children's Programs, and Senior Coastsiders Meals on Wheels. And so they have received grants from the Half Moon Bay Rotary Club. So kudos to our local Rotary. I think that, you know, the Rotary Club president, Warren Barmore, said, with so many incredible projects deserving of funds, the club foundation elected to select one project each from three of the service areas our club is passionate about and actively involved in: seniors, the homeless, and children. So some good news. That's really good news. Again, in semi-dark times when there's a lot going on in this world, these are the things we need to hang on to and go with.
And keep moving forward with.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm willing to bet that $5,000 isn't going to solve either of those organizations' problems, but I'll bet it makes a big dent in things that they probably need to get taken care of. So
And I know this wasn't on our update list, but I also wanted to include, and I didn't print out the information, so I'm just going to give a shout out.
She's winging it, folks.
I'm winging it, which is frightening. It's been a long week, so it might be a little scary, but there was a Bitcoin or what's that?
Cryptocurrency
company or corporation that actually paid $29 million to make teachers' dreams come true for their classrooms. And I think it was something like 16,000 classrooms.
Wow.
And it might have been everything from crayons to markers to paper. You know, it wasn't like they're all going to Disney World, but they were supplies that these teachers desperately needed.
And often have to pay for out of their own pockets.
So, again, more good news.
Yes.
I really am attracted to that these days, so happy to share.
So since you brought that up,
yes,
cryptocurrency.
Yes.
If we have a caller out there who knows anything about this, and
yes.
And you may know about it, but here's the kicker. You need to be able to explain it in really simple terms to some guy that might be talking to you through the radio.
And girl. I'll include myself in that.
So a couple of disc jockeys here. If there's anybody out there who can explain cryptocurrency to us in a simple way, we'd love to hear from you as well, because I don't understand what it is.
And make some sense of it, because honestly, it might show up in our why one of these days.
It probably will, because I don't... Why? And if you want to call us with that, again, the number here at the station, 560-9851. What else we got this morning for news and updates?
Well, listen, do you want to start launching into the meeting that was about the Hyatt, or should we just...
You've got a lot to say about
rock
it.
Rock and roll.
You got
You know?
Can you give me a short opening before we go to our first...
Okay,
here
so...
we go.
Yes, so on the 27th, Tuesday... 7 o'clock, there was a planning commission meeting, and they're open to the public.
Right.
It was standing room only. Because do you get next door?
My wife reads it, and so that means I listen to it over her shoulder as she reads me the highlights.
Okay. So someone initially posted this meeting, and it went viral. If anything could go viral on Nextdoor, it went viral. And there was such, I can't even explain the reaction from people. Just there was surprise. Mm-hmm. And mind you, this has been going on, this planning has been going on since 2016.
Right.
Okay. And boy, oh boy, there was a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And disdain for the idea.
Yeah.
Vocalized in their words on Nextdoor. And I was wondering who was actually going to show up at this meeting. And I was happily surprised.
And they all did.
And they all showed up. So that's kind of my intro to that. I got there early. And actually, I will also say that, station owner Jim sat right down next to me. He
Jim
was there
Hanson.
Also.
Good.
Yep. And so I really felt that the Coast Side was well represented by the community, and voiced their concerns to the Planning Commission.
Well, and let me explain a little bit, because we didn't hit it super hard.
No, I didn't want to take a deep dive quite yet.
The idea is that there is the potential sale, or is the sale already gone through, of property at the south end of town, down near James Ford.
Yeah.
Kind of that weird corner that's down south there. And the company wants to put in a new Hyatt hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a hotel. They want to put in a conference center as well.
Yes.
So it's going to mean a lot of new stuff, I think, here for us on the coast side.
Well, there's a lot we want to try to preserve. And we'd like to hear feedback about this, because... Boy, I heard a lot on Tuesday, and I'd like to hear other opinions.
Okay.
And because you know how I like to stand on my soapbox. So it might be helpful to hear other opinions maybe why it's not bad, why it would be good.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that in about 2 minutes after we get done with a couple commercials.
This is Chris Minoletti with Bay World Travel, reminding you that travel is the only thing you can buy that makes you richer. Now is the time to give your loved one the gift of lifelong memories, the gift of travel. Whether it's a romantic weekend getaway or a longer trip, your special time together will be something you can cherish for the rest of your lives. So pick up the phone today and call Bay World Travel at 650-726-7345. To start planning your next trip with your special someone, or visit us online at bayworldtravel.com.
It's a fact of life that carpets wear out and need replacing. When this happens to you, visit Floors2Go. Locally owned and operated, Floors2Go carries a full variety of carpets, hardwood, laminates, vinyl, tiles, and stone. We'll help you choose the perfect floor for your lifestyle and your budget. We love our pets, but sometimes pets and carpets don't always mix. Floors2Go have pet-friendly carpet. Now your pets can live in harmony with your carpet. Let us show you how. Our showroom and office is located at 116 North Cabrillo Highway, right behind Granola's Coffee House in Half Moon Bay. See our large selection of American-made products at floors2go.com. And then phone us at 726-6386.
We're back. We are talking about the Hyatt Hotel that has the potential of going in south of town.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to get some feedback from callers. But what else you got to say, Livvy?
Well, and I know you touched on it. So just to be clear about where this would be situated, it's going to basically be butted up against James Ford. And it's the triangular land strip adjacent to the firehouse. So
right.
It's where the Half Moon sculpture is.
Uh-huh.
When you're coming into town.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, it's amazing to me what can go in the most unusual space. Like, if I were going to build a hotel, that is not the piece of land that I would ever pick. It's just an unusual spot. One of the people who
but
was
it,
at the
it does end up with a it ends up with Main Street on one side of it, correct?
Yep, yep.
And the Highway 1 mm-hmm. on the other side of it.
Yeah. Which is, I think, you know,
they may think it's going to be a great deal because it gives ease of access in and out of the place.
Yep.
But as we know here from the traffic on the coast mm-hmm. side, it's probably just going to be another bottleneck.
It's not only going to be a bottleneck, but there are major concerns about accidents. Because have you ever tried to take a left going towards Smithfield from Main Street?
Ooh, that's not easy.
That is an accident waiting to happen. And that is going to be a high-speed accident.
Yeah.
And because anyone going north,
uh-huh.
it is,
they figure
they're flooring it at like 50, 60 miles an hour. And at night, and it's very concerning. And then the other piece to that is when you come off of one going towards Main Street,
mm-hmm.
anyone who's not familiar with the area is still going to be hauling you-know-what, you know, just veering off. And there is housing right there with kids.
Right.
They don't know that.
Right.
We know that.
And then the other thing is people would be coming off of there quickly, and then they're going to be stopping quickly or slowing way down in order to make the turn into the proposed hotel.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, if we're talking about it and we're thinking about it, because, you know, our knuckles are dragging to the ground, I think if we can think of it, that anyone's been, or hopefully the planners have been thinking about that.
Well, I would hope so.
You know, in my mind, I think that if this is something that is going to move forward, again, unfortunately, this has been playing out since 2016. And I will be the first to raise my hand and say I'm very disappointed in myself for not realizing that this was all happening. I didn't know. And yet all of this information was publicly available. Nothing was being hidden. And I think it really, this new year just clicked for me. And it's time to get involved. And I can't be a victim in what all's going on in the community. We have to take part in it. We can't complain if we're not going to do anything about it.
That's true.
So
I sometimes wonder, do you and Chris get tired of carrying around your stump that you jump up on?
You mean the soapbox? Yes. You know what? I carry it under my right arm, and that's why I have an enormous bicep. I probably should switch it off to my left. I'm kind of like the Federer of soapbox standards. Yeah, have you ever watched Federer?
He's got that big old Popeye forearm.
Yes, and then he has like the Tyrannosaurus Rex little tiny left arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like me.
Okay.
I'm a little, I need to balance it out a little bit. But anyhow, I think that speed bumps maybe by the housing, I mean, would that help at all?
I think maybe they're probably going to be looking at maybe in some way changing the traffic pattern down there through changing the way the road runs, but also it may be another one of the dreaded traffic signals.
You know what? And I'm just putting this out there. Have you ever lived in Europe?
I've been to Europe. Yes.
Okay. So you know those roundabouts well.
I do. And I don't like those either.
I don't either. But maybe a roundabout, I don't know.
That could work. That might be a solution.
It would slow traffic down.
And give people the chance to get on and get off without as much disruption, maybe.
Maybe.
They just make me super nervous.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're driving on the other side of the road.
The wrong side of the road, in my opinion. Yeah, that adds to it as well. So, But it could be a solution. But I think they're going to need to do something like that. They can't just leave the roads the way they are down there and throw up a big old hotel with conference center and expect that the traffic is going to take care of itself. It's just not going to work out that way.
You know, I'm also a little concerned with a lot of, you know, I know that Highway 1 is a main vein going all through California and
totally.
We get our share of visitors. I mean, that's what makes a lot of our community run. I mean, you know, visitor center and...
We are dependent on traffic.
But I don't know. It's a little concerning having a lot of strangers just staying here and...
Well, there already are. There's a number of hotels. They're just not as...
At 75% occupancy rate, I might add. I mean, it's not like they're flooded.
The other hotels, the larger ones, are they set up as conference centers as well? I don't know. I don't frequent them, so...
I don't think they're set up as conference centers, but like the Ritz has a couple of ballrooms that, of course, it is the Ritz, and it's very expensive. I don't know that the Half Moon Bay Lodge down by the Ritz...
Mm-hmm.
Has a conference center. Trying to think. Oceano does.
Does.
They do.
Okay.
And also, the Half Moon Bay Brewery owns the property. What's it called? It's like the Half Moon Bay Conference Center, like down at the harbor, at Princeton Harbor.
The Mavericks thing.
Yes.
Mavericks Center. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is a conference center also.
Okay. So there are similar kinds of setups here in the area.
Yeah.
Is a big part of the issue with this where they want to just sort of plunk this thing down. All of those hotels that we're talking about now that are already established, they at least sort of set back from the road a little bit. Some of them are fairly far away from the highway. So it's not just right there. The first thing you see as you come into town is that you think.
I think that that is part of it for me.
Yeah.
I would much prefer seeing a park. I'd love to see a park right there and have a nice pond and a walking path around it.
Yeah.
And because you know what, those kids in the community, the housing community that live right there, where are they going?
They have a jungle gym. They have a tiny thing down there, but it'd be nice to have
some more space
down there you know, the other thing they could do, because there's already the, like you said, the Half Moon Bay welcome sign that's there and everything. Mm-hmm. If they could put in some kind of a park with maybe some swings and jungle gym and some walking path, how about some art?
Yes.
Some sculpture art out
Absolutely.
There. It seems like that'd be an awesome way to welcome people to Half Moon Bay.
It would be.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I think, I don't know. I don't know what the push is for a hotel. I really don't, other than money.
Well, that's it. I mean, they think that there's a market for it.
But how much money are we really going to be making from that? Because so, if they're there for a conference, how much time are they going to be spending going to... other places, like shopping downtown.
You've never gone to a conference with me.
Oh, really? Are you a shopper?
Well, I'm not so much a shopper, but I like to sneak out of the conference.
Oh.
Shortly after it starts.
Yes, but wouldn't
and,
it be...
And see the town. I mean, see where
I'm
staying.
See the town or go
at,
to OPL?
You know. Yeah, just do things that... See what... See what's going on where I'm staying at.
The local so, Camerons.
Yes. So, boom.
I think Camerons would benefit from it.
I think
it.
They will. But what are they doing? They've got their own hotel over
it's
there.
True.
So how many bodies can they pack in after hours into Camerons? But let's talk about the other side.
Yes, yes.
If they build a hotel slash conference center, what is that going to mean here in Half Moon Bay? Hopefully, it's going to provide some jobs, right? Wouldn't there be employment opportunities?
I think there probably would be, but also a person at the meeting brought up a lot of them are going to be coming from over the hill, probably.
Mm.
And that, again, lends to traffic.
Yeah.
And we don't need any more of that.
Not really.
And another light's going to go in at Terrace. And
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole nother issue and show.
We've talked about that a little bit, and we'll be back to it, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I was really up on my soapbox about it, and I just think a park would be a much better idea, and I would love that as the first impression to this town.
Yeah,
because I feel like once we start down this path, there's no going back. There's no going back, and. Wow. I've only been here 15 years. I can't imagine people who have been here 25, 30, 40 years
right.
to have seen how things have changed so much and not necessarily for the better. I mean, just coming to the studio today, seeing what the traffic was like was probably what they experienced every day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 20 years ago, even 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And now... It's hellacious.
Yeah, it is.
I really feel badly, particularly for them, because this is our shot to really keep this as a special, special spot in this world and to have a Hyatt come in.
And I agree with you. My past experience as these kind of things get going, then it seems like it is the beginning of that slippery slope. And then the next thing you know, there's... Two more Starbucks down there and another whatever. And, oh, here's a motel cracker box. And, it turns into a nightmare.
An interesting question I'm asking myself is would I mind as much? Because I love the Beach House Inn. I think that's tastefully done. Would I mind so much if it was like a mom and pop inn that was taking that same property? Am I really perturbed that it's a Hyatt? And maybe the answer to that for me is yes. I think that maybe if it was a quaint looking little low-lying beach house inn, maybe.
I think my concerns would still be the same.
Still there.
That it's gonna cause another major traffic snarl.
Yeah.
That do we really need that right there?
Yeah.
Is there no other property anywhere that they could pony up for?
There is not a lot. I have been talking to people about it.
Maybe because of price for most people, but I think Hyatt could fork up a few extra dollars to pay a higher price for a piece of property.
Well, I think it's less that. And the number of wetlands and marshlands that we have here that are major stumbling blocks for building.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
You know, it's honestly probably prevented a lot of buildings or builds that we would not have wanted on the coast anyhow.
That's true.
So I think it's less money and more about preserving land that couldn't sustain that kind of building.
So it does cut into the amount of property that's there available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
aren't they trying to touristify Princeton by the sea? Isn't that what they want to do? Shops and restaurants?
I heard.
How about putting it down there?
Well, you know, I wouldn't disagree with you. Although I have to tell you that there is a plan for what's called the Dunes Beach Hotel and the Surf Beach RV Park, which is going to be, I believe, right at the Oceano property.
Right there at the corner. Oh, my gosh.
That I'm also against.
All right.
We don't need another RV park. All right. Is it time?
Yeah. We're going to take a short break, and we can wrap this up when we get back, or maybe just move on to the next
call,
topic.
People. Call. Where are you? We need to hear your opinions.
Yes, we do.
Or else we'll just be on our soapbox all morning. We're at 650-560-9851. Please call.
See you in 2 minutes.
Hello, this is Frank Vento, local realtor with Intero Real Estate. Intero was started by a group of passionate realtors 15 years ago in the South Bay. They grew steadily, expanding from Cupertino to Los Gatos, Saratoga, Los Altos, Gilroy, and down to Hollister. Then they started moving north, Menlo Park, San Carlos, Daly City, San Mateo, Half Moon Bay, and recently San Francisco. 3 years ago, Intero was acquired by Warren Buffett. We now operate as Intero, a Berkshire Hathaway affiliate. If you have any real estate-related questions, feel free to give me a call. My number is 650-888-9900. That's 650-888-9900. Or catch me online at frankvento.com. That's Frank, V-E-N-T-O.com.
BRE license number 01321362.
If you have appliances, a furnace, water heater, or fireplace, then please take down this phone number, 712-0100. That's the number of Coastside Technical Services. Whether residential or commercial, Coastside Technical Services has been helping Coastsiders since 1988 with experience served with integrity. Need duct cleaning? Then you need Coastside Technical Services. Problems with your washer, dryer, or refrigerator? Then you need Coastside Technical Services. Not having any problems with anything right now? Then you need to take down their phone number and keep it handy. When you need help right away, you need Coastside Technical Services. Ready? 712-0100. 712-0100. Coastside Technical Services.
One more time.
Hello.
Here. So, yeah, you mentioned before the break the trailer park slash recreational whatever it's going to be going
RV
in.
RV park.
On the north end of town. So I guess if we're going to bracket our fair city to the north and south.
We're both shelving it.
With a RV park on one end and a big old convention center on the other, I guess that makes sense, but...
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I think we're bastardizing the coast by putting all this stuff in. Why can't, again, more parks, community center. I get it. If we're at like 100 plus occupancy with all of these hotels, okay, then maybe we think about it. But we're not meeting that.
But
what's the urgency?
So I hear the reports that the local hotels are on an average, I would guess that's what it is, at 75% occupancy. I'd like to know what hotels are at in other areas of not only the coast, but the country or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's their average? Are they constantly full 100% of the time? I really can't believe that.
Well, I think we are in a very special area. So you would have to survey, I don't know. I mean, we're no Santa Cruz. We don't have a boardwalk or that type of thing. So they're very specific places that we, but I can tell you, like, you go up further north. Is it Mendocino?
Mm-hmm.
Am I geographically in the right area? Like, they're all like Victorian bed and breakfast. There's no Hyatt.
Right.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. And my hope is that it'll stay that way. And some Hyatt's not going to
help.
No. And will hinder the look of the coast side there.
Right.
And so I don't know. I'm not against progress, but I don't consider this progress.
Right.
I consider it a couple steps back. So.
Okay. Well, I agree. Maybe we'll get a call and somebody else will set us straight or agree with us.
So. Yeah. Are you guys on the road for spring break or what, guys? You got to call in, please. We were thinking maybe you're sleeping in, maybe you're traveling. But if you've got your cell phone and you're listening, please call us, 650-560-9851.
So now we're going to talk about those pesky trash cans that are being passed out.
Yeah, the compost.
Compost bins.
Yeah.
Don't let me...
Yeah.
don't let me get things confused, there. Right? Not trash cans.
Yeah.
These are compost bins,
mm-hmm.
which are important to get compost where it should go so that it can maybe be used for projects that needs to be used for.
Yep.
But apparently some people have had issues with it. They don't like the new bins.
What don't they like about them?
They're pretty big.
They're huge. They're bigger than our trash cans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're huge.
Do they pick them up every week?
No. You're on some schedule.
Okay.
Every other week, maybe.
Okay.
And then people had the promise was that when you take the new can, if you put your old can out with a sticker on it or whatever mm-hmm. that they provided, they'd be picking up those cans.
Okay. So I did that. And guess what? I still have it.
Which I think is the complaint. Nobody complains if they're picking them up super quick and neat and tidy.
Yep.
But apparently it's not getting picked up the way they said it was going to get picked up.
So now I have two compost bins. Sadly, and again, I'm raising my hand. I'm the first to blame myself. Never use them except, like, if I'm throwing, I've chopped up my Christmas tree mm-hmm. and put it in there.
Right.
Or, because we know I don't have a green thumb. I'm not gardening.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Are you expected to be throwing out your banana peels and stuff like that in there? Is that separating out your garbage? Or is this more for outside composting, like gardening? Like
I think
trees,
it's mostly
plants.
For clippings and branches and leaves that people rake up and that
right.
kind of stuff. I think if you want to throw your compost in there as far as like you apple cores, banana
right.
peels. But I think also people get confused. When I say people, I may be looking directly at myself as to what exactly I'm supposed to put into the compost bin. Apparently, they don't want T-bone steak bones in there.
No.
They don't want fish carcasses in there, any of those kind of things.
Smelly.
Produce leftovers and that kind of thing. But I think mostly it's supposed to be for people's lawn clippings and trimmings and that kind of thing. And at my house, I'm the same way. I don't really have a lawn.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot of lawn mowing. A couple times a year, I have somebody come and trim branches and that kind of thing. They're good enough to carry it away with them. So I don't use the compost bin all that much either.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because for all of the beautiful landscape here on the coast, I don't know anyone, maybe one person, who has an expansive lawn. I really don't.
Yeah,
I mean, the properties, the houses might be big, but the backyard, front yard is pretty small.
It's because it's so expensive.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I grew up out east. My dad's favorite time, well, I say favorite, it actually was. He really enjoyed outdoor work, but he really looked forward to mowing the front lawn and mowing the back lawn, and
half acre each.
Yeah. And it was about a 2 to 3 hour project.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the bag in the back of the lawnmower.
Ooh.
So he would then have to rake up.
Yeah.
And mind you, that's how I made some of my allowance. Thank you very much.
Well, good for you for getting in there and doing some work.
Yeah. That's how we roll.
That's a life lesson.
House. Yeah. Absolutely. So, but at any rate, out here, honestly, not many people own lawnmowers.
Right.
We have a lot of lawn services that come. I know that we have one, and they charge me $75 a month for just mowing my backyard.
Yeah.
Because my yard is so small.
Right.
It basically takes a teaspoon of gasoline, I think, to get everything all done. So they take care of their clippings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to get rid of it. I did print out an article from the Half Moon Bay Review.
I'd keep putting the old bin that you want to get rid of, I'd keep putting it out at the curb for a couple of trash cycles because, like we just discussed, they're not picking up the compost every time, so they may be just picking up the old bins when they pick up compost or whatever.
Mm.
So you might put it out there a couple more shots.
And just have a sign on it, take me, please. I'll tie balloons to it and maybe put an orange cone.
Put a bottle of scotch inside.
Ooh.
That usually gets their attention.
Tape a $20 bill or, you know, please, just take me away.
And then at the very least, they'll just throw it over in the neighbor's yard and it won't be your problem anymore.
I mean, we all have them. I saw them all out.
Yeah.
And I came back later and they're all still there. So I don't know. We were following instructions, and it didn't work out. But I have to tell you, I do want to give a shout out to the garbage collectors, the recycling collectors, and the compost collectors, because, you know, these folks get up at the crack of, before the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
And they are some of the hardest working folks on the coast.
They are.
Did you ever read Tim Russert's book that came out a little while before he died, a number of years ago? And it was all about his dad. And Tim Russert grew up in Buffalo, New York. Ooh. And his dad was a garbage collector. And Tim said, everything I know, every ounce of work ethic I have in my body, I got from my father, who was out there, come rain, come shine, come ice, come snow, in Buffalo, New York. And there were no excuses in the Russert household for slacking off, because that dad was up at 3 a.m. every day to collect garbage. And he took such pride in his work. And Tim Russert wrote an entire book about it and how it affected every area of his life, having grown up with a father with that work ethic.
Right.
And so just a shout out there, because
I got nothing but respect for those guys. It's hard work. It's also, if you dig into it a little bit, it's extremely dangerous work.
Yeah, and those thankless.
Guys get clipped by cars speeding by, the equipment failures, the all kinds of stuff. It's a dangerous job.
Yep.
And anybody, you know, trash people, bakers, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning every day and do that kind of job over and over.
UPS.
That's hero work. That's hero work there.
It's true. Yeah. The UPS drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at Christmas.
It's crazy.
I mean, they're knocking on your door at 9, 10 o'clock at night sometimes, the closer you get to the holidays.
Yeah.
And anyhow, so.
So give them another chance to pick up your cans.
Yeah, I will. I will give them another chance. They are busy people, and these are such first world problems that we're complaining about here. So it's
It's first world right now. You ask if I had ever lived or visited Europe. Have you ever been in New York when the trash strikes go on?
Oh, that is not good times.
It gets third world really quickly.
Oh, I bet.
So
I bet. Is that one of those scenes you can see from a satellite? You know,
you can probably, if you fly over, you can see the odor, the cloud of stink.
It's
rising
almost like
off the
Northern
city.
Lights, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little different. It can be smelly, really smelly.
Oh, that is not good.
I am happy to pay my trash bill and have the people coming and doing their jobs, and I support them 100%.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's funny you should say that, because is Jim sending you to New York next week? Next week.
Well, I didn't want to say anything.
I'm really feeling left out
because
now.
I don't think he sent you on an assignment
yet. No, not yet.
But I think he will be.
You know where I get to go? I get to go to Dream Machines. So he's not really sending me anywhere around the corner.
You get to go to Dream Machines?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it'll be fun. I'll be the roving reporter getting some news, and we'll have, you know, Ground Central KHMB tent there. So
that's
that'll
cool.
So that'll be cool.
When is that?
That is the last Sunday in April, I believe.
Let's make this a proper commercial.
Yep, it is April 29th.
Nice.
Yeah, so we will be there all day. And I don't know. I think he was talking about having you and Ruben also doing a little stint there.
We might, if Ruben gets back from his
trolling.
Yeah. His indentured servitude on the fishing trawler.
That's funny.
So,
yeah.
Do you think he'll bring something back for us? Some fish?
I don't know. Honestly, my favorite is if you smoke fish and make a really cool dip out of it with mayo and lemon and garlic.
That sounds
really good. Get working, Ruben.
Get working, buddy.
Yeah. But at any rate, so you are going to be heading to New York?
I am.
The cat's out of the bag now. My feelings aren't that hurt. But
it's actually, we're going to be doing more than just New York. I think we start down in Virginia.
Okay.
And we move north. And what it is a school trip that is taking in a large amount of information about the colonies and the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
So
you're going to Williamsburg?
Yes.
Nice.
We have a couple of days there, I think, because that thing's huge.
You're going to churn some butter?
I hope I will.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, what else do they do out there? Skin a raccoon or something and make a hat out of it.
Come back with a coon hat and a huge right arm bicep from churning.
From churning butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of stuff, so
that's
it'll be
great.
Fun.
You're going to, you said D.C. also?
Yep.
Nice.
All right, we're going to do
another break?
One more round of commercials.
Okay.
Here we go, people.
Expect the unexpected at Odyssey, an interactive retail shop located on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. Enjoy the outdoor garden, focused on science, nature, art projects, and fun experiences. Always the perfect spot for unique gift ideas for anyone in the family. You will want to spend plenty of time browsing all the fun items, including terrariums, shells, fossils, games, and lots of interactive toys. Next time you are on Main Street, be sure to visit Odyssey and be prepared to be amazed. For a preview of what awaits you, visit their website, odyssey.com. And also see them on Facebook and Twitter, or phone them 440-4555. And when you do, ask how you can book your own Odyssey private party. Tired of running into people you don't know? Maybe it's time to get your eyes checked. Well, carefully drive over to Half Moon Bay Optometry Family Eye Care. They're located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Hallmark. Call 726-EYES, that's 726-3937, and schedule your appointment today with Dr. Netta Moshasha. Most insurances accepted, including Care Credit. Half Moon Bay Optometry also specializes in kids to keep their eyes healthy so they can grow up seeing great. Remember, they're located right next to Hallmark in the Strawflower Shopping Center. Call them today, 726-EYES, to set up your next appointment.
It's official. Spring has arrived. And what better way to celebrate the season than with friends, food, and a few mimosas. Whether you're hosting the neighbors or the whole neighborhood, New Leaf Community Markets has everything you need to fill your brunch with fresh seasonal goodness. You'll find great deals on organic California asparagus and responsibly raised meats to wow your guests. And don't miss 20% off all sparkling and white wines March 30th through April 1st. Stop by your neighborhood New Leaf and join us in our toast to the best meal of the day.
We are back.
Hello, Coastside.
We are getting ready to do that most favorite part of the show. Why?
this is a crazy one.
This is a kind of a crazy one. It's kind of unbelievable that they have discovered a new organ in the human body after, I don't know, they've been studying it for what, 2 or 3 years now?
just a few.
Yeah.
I think I got the biggest kick out of doing our research as we do, that they put the word organ in quotes. So I'm not quite sure what constitutes an organ and why they'd put it in quotes. Is it kind of like Pluto being a planet one day and then not another? I don't know. Is it going to be classified differently tomorrow? Who knows?
What's the other option? It's a suborgan?
I've read, it's actually fluid. It's a highway of fluid.
Right.
So I don't know what constitutes an organ.
Fluid that moves through your body.
Right.
Doesn't your blood do that?
Yes.
Is that considered an organ?
So
the circulatory system, maybe that's not an organ. Maybe it's a system.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
But they all, you know, our epidermis is our largest organ. That was actually the answer to a Jeopardy question a few weeks ago. Thank you. I bet it all and won.
But now they're saying this organ might be even larger than that.
Oh, are they saying that?
They are saying that.
It's called interstitial fluid.
And I think they're calling it the interstitium. So
say that three times.
I can't. I barely got it out once, and I'm not sure I pronounced it right the first time.
It's found below the skin surface and between the muscles lining the digestive tract, lungs, and urinary systems, and surrounding arteries and veins, they say.
And, so, and it does a lot of stuff.
Yes, and as you were saying, they think that the spaces may act like shock absorbers that prevent the tearing of tissue and organs, muscles, and vessels as they move during normal functioning.
And they think it might also be a reason that some cancers move through the body much quicker because they're involved with organs that are also involved with this interstitial fluid.
Yeah, or the highway, they say.
The highway.
It may explain why cancer that gets into the highway is much more likely to spread through the body. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of research. You were telling me why they hadn't found it.
Right. So in the past, the way they do slides of, say, muscle tissue or anything like that, or the skin and that kind of thing, when they make slides of that, they dry it out. So obviously this is a river of fluid that's running through your body. When they dry it out and then make slides out of it, that portion has gone away and has sort of collapsed. And I'm sure they always figured that there was some sort of moisture, obviously, in there. Because if your all these parts were not lubricated, they wouldn't move very well, would they?
Right.
But I think it's much more than what they had thought in the past, because they've got new techniques to look at cross-cut tissue samples that doesn't require them to dry it out, stick it under that microscope like they did for years and years and years.
Got it. Well, when I was playing volleyball in college, I fell on my knee, and what I ended up doing was bursting all of my bursas underneath my kneecap, and those are little cushions, fluid-filled cushions.
Right.
And that's what that was the first thing I thought of, although it's not a highway of fluid. But it was interesting, and it looked like I had a second kneecap on my right leg.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I also thought of contact lenses. You know, once if you let the air without putting any fluid on it.
Yeah.
Actually, after a certain amount of time, they'll dissolve. Like, you won't ever find them again.
Yeah.
They're a little speck.
Right.
And so our blood changes color once it hits oxygen.
Yeah.
It's actually blue.
Yeah.
And so I can imagine that it would evaporate once it hit the air. So that's interesting.
Well, I don't know if it's just evaporating once they hit the air. I mean, it will, because evaporation happens.
Or dry,
but I think when they make the slides, they dry it out intentionally to get the moisture out of there.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Because not only does it give them the opportunity with the equipment they had then to look at it more closely, it preserves it that way.
Mm-hmm. I see why you're wearing your white lab coat today. Look at you.
Yeah.
And that Petri dish. Now I know what that's there for.
Dr. Jekyll here.
Yeah.
No.
Well, hopefully this is a find for the better. And especially for cancer treatment.
Yeah.
I think that that's so important. And it is shocking with all of the technology and, I don't know, with all of the great minds that we have these days that we're just now discovering this. But I'm happy we have.
Right. I mean, it also, one side of it goes, how did they miss that? But the other side of that coin is that the technology that, thank goodness Ruben's not here, because he's a little bit of a technophobe.
Yes,
The technology is better and better, and so eventually, like you said, it could help help them figure out things about treatments for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some way they can utilize that stream of fluids that travel throughout your body to get medications to where they should go and that kind of thing. So that would be great.
Wow.
I think anytime they come up with something like this, even though it sounds at first a little sketchy to me, I think maybe they're just making this up. But
needing some funding.
Yeah. Well, you know, I found a new organ.
Yeah.
It's in the end of my big toe, and I'd like to research it. Please
maybe they'll have a conference at the new Hyatt.
Please send donations to.
We can go sit in.
But it's interesting in its weirdness.
Agreed. Agreed. I think that we'll learn a lot more. I feel like that all of this is good stuff. I'm glad that they've discovered it. I'm glad it's come out in the news. And what do we do with it next? And I'm encouraged that they're thinking already about how maybe cancer is spreading. And because, of course, my conspiracy theory is that they've known all along how to eradicate or get in cancer into remission, and doesn't make insurance any money if people are healthy. So, but that's a whole nother show.
And we may do that show.
Yeah.
But it's part of the same thing of, you know, there are companies out there who are working on extending the human lifespan.
How old do you want to be?
Well,
I don't want to be extended.
Insurance companies don't want you living forever. The government doesn't want you living forever because, what, you think you're going to retire at 65 if you live to be 150 and live it up on those few tax dollars that people have sent in?
Yeah.
That's not going to work out. So my theory, my conspiracy theory is that even if, and it's possible, people have, companies, labs, whatever you want to call them, have come up with ways to extend the lifespan by a number of years. But you know who bought them out?
The government. Yeah.
And they put it away. Uh-huh. Because it's going to be a huge drain if people live too long.
Honestly, I mean, just ship me off onto like a rudderless ship in the ocean when I'm 85 and just say goodbye.
Can we do it like the Vikings where they pilot with wood and I can shoot arrows?
Yes.
And
I would be actually okay with that. I do not. I had my grandmom almost lived to be 101 and she lived a great life, but the last five were difficult. And I think if I finished at a strong 85 and had my, you know,
your work is done.
Yeah. My work is done. I think.
Well, by the time you hit 85, I'm going to be 186. So I'm going to have to.
Moses.
I may have to subcontract out the actual pulling back of the bowstring and letting the arrow go, because I may be too feeble to do it.
You are so funny. Oh my goodness.
I think what I look for health improvements is just what you said. I don't need to live to be 150 years old.
Yeah.
But what I would like is that the 75, 80 years, you know, whatever I do live, for them to be comfortable, productive. I don't want to be sitting in a chair the last 5 years, drooling on myself as somebody tries to feed me some oatmeal or whatever.
Yeah.
I would like for it to increase the quality of life while we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's have a little dignity and go out when it's your time.
I know. I agree.
Give the youngins a chance with the world.
Well, as it is, I'm banking on my son to, I don't know, have us in his house. And I think that's likely what's going to happen.
He's got some skills.
He's got major skills.
So
and
I can see that.
Trying to foster that as much as possible.
That's
so
good.
That we can, I don't know, we'll probably end up living above the garage somewhere. That's okay. Mm. When you got one, you follow him anywhere.
That's true. Yeah.
He's going to just love that. Not so much.
What kid doesn't? Well, it's only fair because there's a lot of families now where the kids just don't seem to want to leave home.
Well, they can't here because a home is $1 million+.
That's true, too.
So
that's
if they want a roof over their head, they're either going to have 10 roommates.
Right.
Or live with their folks.
Right.
I mean, I would, of course, love that, but at some point, I recognize that independence is important and to have your own space.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's disconcerting for the upcoming generations. I mean, how are they supposed to make it happen here? We're just very fortunate to be able to live here. And, you know, we've been talking about quality of life in many different states, and how if we were to sell our house here, we could probably buy 4 in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, so again, boy, we have a lot of shows. We have a lot. We gathered a lot of information this show to help us in other shows. I mean, that's a whole nother.
There's endless variety of things we can start hammering away at.
Yeah, I know.
All right, everybody. I think it's about that time. We're going to wrap it up. Yeah. So from Libby Street Rise.
Hello, goodbye.
Myself, for the other dude, we are going to talk to you again next week. And we hope that you have a wonderful spring break holiday.
Enjoy.
And
an
Easter holiday if you celebrate
and
that.
And Passover.
Yes. So enjoy.
Thanks all.
Bye-bye.